Morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest-running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talkingsports.
Tampa Bay, be sure to listen to the St. Pete Sports Connection radio show every Saturday on the St. Pete Sports Connection radio network, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com from 1 to 2 on the Tan Talk family of stations. The St. Pete Sports Connection provides a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros as we talk to pros, collegiate, and high school athletes every Saturday live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from the Trop. Have a championship day with the St. Pete Sports Connection Saturdays from 1 to 2 on the Tan Talk and St. Pete Sports Connection radio network.
Tune in Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. for Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. That's 2 hours of great gospel music every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., all brought to you by the Ozona Pig Restaurant in Ozona. Yes, that's every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. It's Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. Tune in on the Tan Talk Radio Network. You got to be safe. You got to be
safe. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Earth around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because you know I have a whole bunch of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that oh, yeah is from my friend, caregiver, and author Rick Incorvia. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me today.
I'm so glad you're here. I haven't seen you, I feel like, in a long time. That's not good.
It's because you're a wild woman, busy all the time.
Well, you're pretty busy too yourself. Every time you like have a new book signing, I'm like, oh, I can't be there.
What? You can't be at this next one?
No!
Ah.
But anyway, I'll be at one of them. Oh, I think we need to set up one like by me.
The deal.
With you, with both of you, would be great. Exciting. And the both of you is Marlita Black. Welcome.
Thank you.
So glad you're here today.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about your new book and what's going on with that.
Awesome.
And we have Ed on the boards. How you doing, Ed?
A chilly Saturday.
Like, you like it, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
It's all good. Ed likes it. Well, first thing I want to do is say a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Rhoda in Oklahoma. We have Trixie in Palm Harbor. And we have Mary in Boynton Beach. And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners.
Plenty.
Whether you listened while the show is live, or you listen on YouTube or Facebook, or you listen to the recordings after. Because I know it's difficult all the time to just be listening to a show. Sometimes a caregiver will say to me, yeah, I was listening to that show, Linda. It was really good till Mom had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
But then you know you can go back later and listen to it, which is, that's one of the good things about all the technology. Yeah. And I am so excited to say, whew, the conference is done. So we had a 3-day conference, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, with 20 sessions with fabulous speakers, just off-the-wall information. And every day at lunch we had yoga or EFT. And on the second part of lunch, we had adaptable equipment. They came in and showed us different kinds of things that are the
loved
best.
Loved it. How to put socks on, shoes on with equipment. It was really good.
Well, you heard what I said about the adaptable clothing, right? So they have all these different clothing. You can get your socks on. You can open your pants better.
Right.
And I said, you girls have known me for a long time. You'll continue to know me. When I need help putting my clothes on, I want you to send me over a 50-year-old guy with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
That can just help me. Yeah. You know, you're supposed to say in advance what you want for your caregivers.
Absolutely.
Who's going to be caring for you and whatever.
I get a feeling you'll be saying that for a while.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. But yeah, it was very exciting to just meet new people, and get new ideas. And every single speaker, every time I learn something new.
Right.
Every single time.
Really good specialists.
Yeah, it was really fabulous. So we'll probably be doing another one in May, but I don't want to think about it until I finish this one, which is like another 2 weeks. Then I'm going to take a little time off, and then we'll plan the next one. But
and take more vacations.
Yes, more vacation. Life should be a vacation. Life should be a vacation.
I agree.
Yeah.
Go places.
Well, you know, I'm going to be 68 on Thanksgiving. And I don't want to wait till I'm 78 to start traveling. At 78, I might be too tired, or we don't know the circumstances. I hate to say it, but my sister was in a very bad car accident last week. Very bad. She was hit head-on at like 60 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And in fact, she's being readmitted to the hospital today. And her life has changed now. And her husband.
So tell them your promise. What are you doing now for you?
I'm just going hitting the road. I'm hitting the road and going to visit people. And so far I've been, I did see my sister in Pennsylvania a couple months ago. And I went to Maine and I went to New York City. And I'm going to Germany and Belgium the end of the month. And I'm going to the Grand Canyon in June. Dallas, Texas in January. Back to New York City.
So for those of you that don't know, Linda, promise she made to herself, she's going to take a vacation once every month.
For the rest of my life.
Yes.
Or more.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Well, I've already put some mores in there. Lynn's like, what the heck are you doing here? You're like on accelerating or whatever. Yeah. But you know what the thing is, too? I can't be preaching to everybody else about what to do if I'm not doing something myself.
Right.
And I have to tell you, I got a call from one of my caregivers yesterday that just delighted me. And she said, I know, Linda, you're always saying about taking time for yourself and I've been in the house with my mother a lot. She goes, and I love the fresh air, and I love getting out, and I need to exercise. So she said, so I spoke to two of my friends and my daughter and asked them if they could come over every Saturday morning for 2 hours and spend some time with my mom. She goes, and what I do is I either go to the Botanical Gardens or Walsingham Park or someone really, you know, that I really like. She says, I put on the headphones and I listen to the radio show. Mm. She says, and I walk. So she's like, I get fresh air, beauty, education.
All in one.
And my mom gets some time.
Yeah.
Clever.
And mom probably wants time away from her just as much.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah.
You know it. Because as much as we think we're the bomb caregiver.
Yeah.
And only I can do it. Your loved one's going, bye-bye. Yeah. You know? See you later.
Thanks, I needed a break from her.
Well, you know, just like with your mom. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your mom, who's my best friend, Mama Rose, is going to the club now, the adult daycare.
Yes.
And she loves it, right?
Oh, man, she comes out of there lit up.
Yeah.
Feeling 20 years younger.
And aren't you more anxious to see her, too? Because she's excited. You're excited. Yeah. You got to do what you had to do during the day.
Right.
One of my another one of my caregivers just recently, her husband started adult daycare. And for months now, he's just been sleeping all day. Mm-hmm. All day. He just sleeps all day, and every time he wakes up, he wants breakfast. She makes breakfast like 4 times a day.
Right.
And she finally got some help, and he's going to adult daycare, and they sent him a video, and he was laughing. She said he hasn't laughed in over a year. Mm-hmm. He was playing cards with the guys there. He was doing like a little putt-putt golf.
So these daycares now, they're not a place where they administer medicine and push people around in wheelchairs. It's
like the club.
It's bingo. It's get up. It's bowling. It's
dancing.
They have a blast there. Music.
Yeah.
I tell you, she comes out just lit up. Loving
it. And it's being with other people that are in your age group that have the same capabilities as you do. And people are so happy just to have a conversation with someone that's not going to tell them they're wrong or they said the wrong thing. No, that's not really what it was, Mom.
Yeah.
Who cares if mom says I was married in 43 instead of 23 or whatever? Right. But if we were there, we would say, no, Mom.
Let me correct you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Did you hate that when you were a kid?
Yeah. And now we do it.
Yeah. Now we do it. But I think that's another thing with just bringing all this information out there. The most important thing I want caregivers to remember is please help your loved one keep their dignity. Please let them keep their dignity.
Yeah.
Please be kind to them. Please let other people know, too, because I talk about my business card. In the back of my business card, it says the person I'm with has Alzheimer's or dementia, may not clearly understand what you're saying, something like that. Please be patient with them.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people from the conference said, yes, can you please send me some of those? Because if you go into a restaurant and your loved one's a little antsy or they're having trouble reading the menu or whatever, if you just hand that to the wait staff, they're going to be so much nicer because everybody wants to help when they know.
Right. I need that card. That happened to me just a couple weeks ago. So
did it?
I need that card. The waiter and the manager got involved in squirrel type conversations. Yeah. And I'm like, I need something that says,
help me here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, my one girlfriend said, if I go giving that card to the waitress, my dad's going to be like, what are you giving her? So what she did is she took a picture of the card and it's on our phone. And she says to the waitress, she says, want to see the beautiful sunset picture I took of the sunset last night?
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, and the waitress is like, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and there are even some, because we need to make this whole world, too, dementia friendly.
Yeah. Yes.
There's so many people in it with dementia, there's going to continue to be people in it with dementia. And there were even restaurants. Somebody told me about a little restaurant. I think it's in Ohio. So it's good to know the places you go to regularly. And if you're bringing someone that has dementia, they know that and everything. Right. Where you can actually call up ahead of time and order whatever the order is. And they'll cut up all your loved one's food. So when it's delivered to the table.
It's not the embarrassment of trying to help out.
And he doesn't even have to look at the menu because it's already... It's already ordered.
Yeah.
They know that when that person comes in right away, they need a roll or something.
Because there's a lot of anxiety there when they don't know what they want. It's too much on the menu, and they look at you for help, and you just feel it.
My mother just stopped even looking at a menu or anything. She'd be just like, you're my assistant.
Yes.
Here. Yeah,
that's mom now, too.
You know, which is just fine.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, when I go to Germany in a couple of weeks, because I'm the grandma, going with my daughter, my granddaughter, and my grandson now, I'm just going to sit in the back seat, let them take me wherever they take me. I want to be the grandma.
You're going to hold up the card saying that you're...
Yes, I don't want to...
I'm special.
I don't want to be the boss. I don't want to be the preparer.
Yeah, right.
I want to be the, I want to be the grandma.
We'll see about that.
It's good when you have friends on the show and they can make fun of you because Lynn's not here. So we have Rick here. Oh, and the reason Lynn's not here, God bless you, Lynn. Lynn is being a caregiver for some good friends of hers. She's been there like 10 days. She said her poor friend Tommy, she has to give him a tutorial about every 4 hours on his hearing aid. But she said she got Alexa for every room in the house, and her friend Tommy now thinks that she's brilliant because he can hear Frank Sinatra in every room. They're like, so Lynn's in there giving them all her caregiving tips and everything, so that's really cool. So hopefully, I'm pretty sure she'll be here next week. But I miss you, Lynn. I miss you.
So do I.
Yes, we will miss you.
I was hoping you'd be here.
Yes. So, Marlita, you have a new book that just came out.
Yeah.
You also have been a caregiver.
Yes.
And you said you lived in Australia for 30 years. So when did you come here?
Yeah, so we came at the end of 2016.
Oh, so you're a real newbie.
Yeah, relatively new. So I'm still learning what's out there in terms of services, and I've got a lot to learn.
Oh, so. Well, you're at the right place.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I was born in the USA, hence my accent, but lived in Australia for 30 years and went from a career in IT where I was responsible for project and change management to psychology. And so when I came over here, I thought, well, do I do a whole nother degree and become a registered psychologist here, or do I do something else? And I thought about corporate work, and I ended up starting my own coaching business, first in business, and then secondly in life coaching. And so for me, the same theme of communication has come up over and over again. Yeah. And it started with my own family. My mother and I haven't always been the best communicator. we're so similar enough to, and now with dementia, that's just...
You have to learn the new dance.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like it's both made her more tender, but also made her more contentious sometimes. So there's just a whole nother language I'm learning with that. So.
Yeah, and then there's the whole mother-daughter just relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't you tell me what to do. Yeah, I change your diaper.
We're both queen bees, and so we struggle for that, you know, queen bee position. But there's unconditional love behind that, too. So it's we get along very well. But, in the restaurant scenario, they're used to her being, you know, calling the shots, and they know her order. But more recently, it's become a little more confused. Her orders get jumbled up. So that was meant for me, that message, because I have to get to where I communicate a little better with them. So.
And once you do, because everybody wants to help. When you know better, you do better with everything, is what I always say.
Right. So, and there are layers to caregiving. You just don't switch the light on it.
Yeah, and there's seasons.
Right.
And there's all sorts of, and for me, I always get right back in that saddle. Like, I just finished one caregiving journey, and then something else. And in fact, one of my caregivers called me this morning, and she said, she lives in Georgia, Joni, and she said, I'm going over to the nursing home now. They said my mom's actively dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm glad that we could talk a little bit about it before, and that she had a lot of support, and that's really, really important. And although it's one of the most difficult things in the world, it's you're probably not thinking this right now, Joni, but it's one of the most fabulous things in the world to be able to be with your loved one, to be able to just share and to be a comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom's 99, so she's had a fabulous life. But it doesn't matter if your mom's 39 or 99 or 109, it's still your mom.
Yeah.
And you know that, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. So what made you decide to write this book?
So in my coaching, I do, as I said, a lot of communication conflict stuff. And I found myself saying the same things over and over again to clients. And I thought I really should. You get sick of your own voice sometimes saying the same thing.
Oh, I certainly do.
You know, I've said this 100 times before. So I thought, I'm clear that the patterns are telling me that this is common to everybody.
Yes.
So if the patterns are common to everybody, then how can I reach more people? And writing a book is my answer to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my book is in the hands of people that I won't ever see in a session, and that excites me. So that was my main mission, to get it out there for people who will never meet me.
Right, because there's so many more opportunities. You can help so many people.
Right.
You know,
and to normalize how hard communication can be, it's so normal that it's hard. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you that it's difficult, right?
You know, my journey with this whole caregiving thing was a result of a book, really, because my mom became very ill, and I moved in with my mom, and I wrote Good Night and God Bless, and I got out there promoting the book, and every time people came up to me crying, saying they needed help.
Yeah.
And then you just go to the next thing, and you just keep stepping, and you keep learning, and you keep finding better ideas, and you find people that want to share it with you.
Ways to reach more people.
Yeah. I look forward to readers.
Show, your book.
Telling me how to make it better and how to make my practice better, but how to write the next book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they will.
Yeah. So why the title?
So I literally get in almost every conflict session to a point where somebody says to me, the other person just isn't doing this, or they're not doing that. They don't love me. And so I will say, well, did you ask them? Did you say something?
Right. No.
And they literally will say no every time. No, I didn't. They should know. Or no, I didn't. Or sometimes they will say, yes, I did. And then I'll ask, what words did you actually use?
Right.
And they didn't. Right?
Yeah.
They didn't actually
I implied
say it. It's inferred.
Well, they should know.
Right?
Mm-hmm. We think they know.
They should know.
We think people read our minds, and they don't.
I've read her book, Say Something, and at the end of each chapter, there's a place to take notes and write things, and it's just one of those books that helps you in every situation, whether it's business, whether it's with your daughter, like with me, you helped me so much, or my mother. It's just great, a great tool.
Well, it's just, it's what life is about, communication and saying things, and I am much better as I've matured. And saying things and not swallowing things that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Or I had a situation with somebody recently, and this person kept continually saying something that was really like putting me over the edge.
Mm.
And I knew that they didn't really mean it.
Right.
And I thought that since I knew they didn't mean it, I should be okay with it. No.
Say something.
It was still really bothering me.
Yeah.
Once I said something, the person was like, oh my God,
I never
realized that.
We've got to explain the emotional impact of what other people say to us, too, and be really not so much judgmental. We don't want to be judgmental, but we've got to be clear as to the emotional impact when people are saying they're triggered. We all are on automatic pilot with our words sometimes. And until you interrupt the pattern and say, you know, that's not working for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not effective.
Right. It just keeps repeating that same old, and you feel you're bitter and you're upset and you don't want to see that other person. And sometimes It doesn't always have to be verbal, right? You could just write them a letter or say something too.
Yeah, I encourage people, and that's actually how I learned in my chapter on confrontation.
I hate confrontation.
I know. People say that to me all the time. They say that to me all the time.
And I'm a people pleaser, so that can be very difficult.
Yeah, I literally give a script in one of my chapters as to how to lay it out in, you know, 4-step process, 2 sentences per step. It's very simple. And I do encourage people to write it down first and practice, you know, tell the person you're going to literally read it to them, because anything else is going to bring on tears and, you know, ineffective, something.
Right.
So I had to learn that way first. I had to learn through typing it up. And then it became, after much practice, became more automatic for me. But
well, I think another thing I always talk about, too, is we have to be very careful. We have to watch our words.
Yes.
Because words are very powerful.
Yes.
And words can be taken cockeyed. You know, years ago, I was going through a tough time. People would say, how you doing? And I'd say, I'm hanging in there. And one day I thought, who wants to be hanging in there?
Right.
You know how many times we say that?
Yeah.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
So I always say I'm joyful and grateful. And sometimes they look at me like, and I say, you know, some days I'm joyfully challenged,
right.
But I'm always grateful.
Right. Right.
And I think you have to remember that and how you can have that conversation and how you can have a conversation. My daughter recently, her boys are being changed in school to a different school. And my grandson was like really getting a little upset about it and everything. And she said to him, remember when we had to move a couple of months ago? And we thought it was going to be the worst thing, and we didn't want to move out of that house, but the lady was going to sell the house, and we had to move out of this house, and mommy was so upset and everything. Well, look at the house we have now. It's so much better than that other house we had before. Mm-hmm. Good words.
People fear change.
Yeah. And what is there every day in life?
Change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Change. So, you think the most common thing is we're just not conversing, or we're not conversing properly?
To me, it's a couple of things. We're not, when we do speak, we're not defining what it looks like, the thing that we want. We're not saying, okay,
expectations.
You don't love me, so then I'll say as a counselor, what does loving you look like? Like behaviorally, energetically, what does that look like? So we're not describing what it looks like, but the bigger thing is we're making assumptions. If you say something to me, and I assume that you meant me harm or that you weren't really tuned into me, that assumption will define who you are in my mind. It'll define what you meant by that. And if I don't have the courage to say, you know, I'm just a little uneasy about what happened between us then, or what did you mean by that, you know, in a curious way, then my assumptions can actually taint my view of you for many years to come. And so I find when I'm speaking to couples or family members, they've been making assumptions for years and not actually asking curious questions. So,
well, I can remember years ago meeting somebody, it just wasn't a good meeting or whatever. Mm-hmm. I never really liked that person.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I never liked that person. That person is the nicest damn person in the world. And it took me like 25 years to just kind of forget
that.
Was
it me?
No. To just forget that, you know, that stupid thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
And just let it go. Because I think once or twice in my life I might have said something stupid.
No.
Really.
We speak before we actually engage the brain.
Many times. And that's another thing I've learned about as I get older. Mm-hmm. Is to stop.
Automatic
speaking. Just stop.
Automatic.
Like, even I had a business call a couple of weeks ago, and when they called me, right away the hair on the back of my neck went up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I really have to take another call right now. Mm-hmm. Would it be all right if I call you back in 15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And I just got off and I went, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just thought about, because it was just, and that took a lot of practice to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think when you were talking too earlier about, oh, does he love me or whatever, you know, we can get into all the other books about the languages of love.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, my husband loved me very much, but he loved me by building me a new house. He loved me by barbecuing on the grill.
Love language.
Yeah, he loved me by fixing stuff, by
acts
making
of
stuff.
Service, that's they the, call them. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
That was his love language.
Yeah. There's a chapter in my book that refers to Gary Chapman's work on love
does
language.
It?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So
because it's true. When it's once you can
important.
Understand that,
it's very important.
That's Jennifer's love language.
Yeah.
Is you washed stuff? My car for me? Thank you. That's love.
Yeah, my husband will buy me my favorite yogurt, and he'll be like, he'll put it on the front top shelf so I can see, like that's how he. Yeah. Yeah.
And mine is touch. I don't, you know, just whatever it means.
Yeah.
It's
very important
different.
To know that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good to know that. Yeah. It's good to know that with anybody, just not with your relationships, with the people, just your friends, you know, your family, your everything, your children. I'm learning now. It's so my grandson lives with me. He's 17 and a half. I don't know, something's going on the past couple of days. I don't know if it's 17-year-old boy stuff, you know, or what it is, but I could just see like a little pain in his eyes. Like when he was a little boy, you know, and I'm like, is there anything I can do now? I'm fine. You don't have to know anything about this. I'm good. You know?
It's a wild age.
Yeah, it's like, and so I had to just, I don't, to just maybe give him some space. Yeah. And but, you know, you want to jump right in, too.
Space, absolutely. But then you want to have the open line of communication. It's tough.
Yeah. I said, maybe if you would talk to me about it, maybe get it out, you'd feel a little better. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I said, okay. But you have to learn that, too, and you have to give sometimes people their space.
Right.
Linda, what's your love language?
What's my love language? I don't really know what my love language is. I think mine's probably, I don't know. I never really thought
of it. I want to define that and put it out there.
I need to put something out there. You know that.
You know? I'm going to take a guess. It's quality time because you like to laugh and be joyful and have quality.
Yeah, I really like time.
She says she's looking for a man. I think 50-year-old blonde is what you said, but I don't know if that's really what you want.
No, I don't know. No, I like when someone holds my hand. Yeah. I really like to laugh. I really like to laugh. I really like adventure. I really like to just talk. I like to play games, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's well, I'm a big card person.
Mm-hmm.
I love to send out cards, always. And I remember how it came to me was, we lived next door to the Perlmans when I was a kid. And Grandpa Perlman passed away.
Mm.
And we went over to their house, and they were sitting Shiva.
Mm.
And everybody was just so sad. I was like probably 8. And everybody was just so sad, and I just watched around. Everybody was just so sad. And then finally they found this envelope and they brought it out and they gave it to Grandma Perlman and she opened it up and then it was cards from her husband and letters from her husband.
Oh.
And she got so happy.
Yeah.
And that's when I found the power of the card.
Yeah.
And as a kid I wrote to my uncle in Vietnam, I wrote to my grandma letters, you know, I did that and I can continue that through my life. Well, with my husband and I, we would go to a hotel for vacation, and we would check in at the desk, and they'd go, Mr. Burhans, we have mail for you. Because I would, like, send him a card before we get there.
Oh, that's so cute.
And about 2 months after he passed away, my brother-in-law said, there's some box here I think you want. I'm like, don't touch nothing. And I go there, and I get the box, and I open up the box, and I don't know, there's probably about 400 cards in that box that I sent him over the years that I never know he even saved.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So you say you still send out cards. How many cards do you think you send out in a month?
About 100 or 100 or more a month.
That's I know I've been the recipient. My mother's been the recipient. We all save them.
Well, now I'm you know, I always like to send out the cards to say something nice to somebody or to say thank you or to appreciate them. And then I like to show off my photography, which is kind of fun, too.
My uncle, you sent him the card.
My uncle, he's so fabulous.
With a picture of him from 50 years ago when he was the owner of a record store, him with his partner holding he loved that.
Yeah, we went out to lunch. His mom kept saying, you have to meet my brother. You have to meet my brother. I'm like, I want to meet your brother. So it happened to be his birthday, and we went out to lunch, and so he used to have a record store in Greenwich Village, like right around the corner from, my stepmother went there. We didn't find this out till after. So after we had this fabulous lunch, I went and I started searching the internet, and I found all this stuff. And so I made a card and sent him old pictures of his past, whatever. And he said the one picture he couldn't even remember.
He was crying.
Oh, and he wrote me. me the nicest letter.
Yeah.
Yes. The very
touched
nice.
Touched a heart.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. The very, very nicest letter. It's just such a tiny thing that's just so easy. You know, I play games with myself. Every month I want to send out an unexpected card every day.
Yeah.
So I'll say, okay, I'm going to send it to teenagers this month. So it's my kids' friends, my grand, you know, whoever. And my Facebook goes out of whack because they were all like, no one ever sent me a card when it wasn't my birthday. Mm-hmm. How did you know my boyfriend broke up with me?
Yeah.
You know, like, I have that in my lock. I don't have a clue. But I decided 2 months ago, too, besides sending out those cards, I'm sending out a funny card. Because my dad always told jokes and did things.
That's right.
And he always said, have a laugh.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to send out some cards every month that just have a laugh. And that's been kind of fun, too, because on Facebook and stuff, you can mm-hmm. find... This is a card I've been sending out, and it's a hot dog roll.
Yeah.
With a banana in it.
Yeah.
And it says, banana bread, follow me for more recipes.
I love it. I've seen
you know?
Cute.
Who doesn't laugh at that?
I know.
So that's...
Laughter is the best medicine. That's true.
So what is it about family misunderstandings that make this so complicated?
I think in my experience, it's the deep love in families. It's... the triggers that come from childhood injury sometimes. But it's the closeness. It's the assumption making, again, that your family ought to know better.
Yeah.
That your family ought to know you well and be more sensitive and be more aware of you.
Yeah. I think you could be a little more bold with your family.
We are a lot
ruder.
Meaner to our family, let me just say.
Yes.
So, you know, in working with my mom with dementia, it's about me learning that like you said, her dignity needs to be preserved, but learning that the language has to change.
Yeah.
The assumption of me assuming that she knows things that I know has to be set aside.
Yeah.
It's like you said, you know, who cares if she gets the year wrong or whatever.
Right.
The old us would have been happy correcting each other on that. The new us... that's just a trap for a half-hour conversation and upset.
Right.
So it's not wise, right? So.
Well, I just found out probably 6 months ago that my one sister said to me, I was mad at you for like 2 years. and it was something that didn't have anything to do with me. And she said, when I realized it really didn't have anything to do with you, I was mad at you all that time for nothing.
Yeah, we don't speak up.
No,
we don't speak up in families.
Say something.
We hope people will be drawn to our withdrawal.
Sometimes
energy.
I don't even understand how I feel. How are you supposed to understand how I feel?
I know.
So true.
You know, sometimes you don't. I don't know if I'm sad, if I'm happy, if I'm whatever, if I'm anxious or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I expect you supposed to understand that.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So what's the biggest thing you learned from the book, or an example of something?
When you're hiding something inside of you and getting angry about it, it's time to have a conversation about it. And it shouldn't be an angry conversation. It should be, I really want to understand you better. And when you come from I want to understand you better, maybe it's repeating it. Let me see if I understand what you're saying to me. And just trying to learn what's being said enough to open up a conversation. If they know you really care about communicating, the communication starts.
And going to them and communicating to them is not doing it with your tail between your legs.
Not at all. No, it's
assertive. I talk a lot about assertiveness. And Rick was a contributor to a lot of my, the section on phrases to try. You gave me a lot of phrases to try. One of them was, let me have another shot at that.
Jennifer said, and I do that all the time.
Yeah.
First time out, I might screw it up completely.
Yeah, yeah.
Does your hair always look like that?
Or
your hair looks
like
different today.
When you see it going downhill really quickly, stop.
Let me rephrase that.
That's good, though.
Let me try again.
Let me have another shot at that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's in the book. So yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is.
What are some other good phrases?
Well, to me, it's all about help me understand.
Help me understand. Because you kind of like putting it on you too. Help me.
Yes.
Right.
Understand.
Anytime
assertiveness. Like, tell me what the heck you're thinking.
Assertiveness talks about I statements, so it's all I'm struggling with.
Right. Not
help
like you're
me.
An idiot.
I mean, like,
right.
You don't make sense.
Yeah.
Or
no
you're
pointing.
Confusing.
Right.
Or whatever. You statements don't work. So.
No.
Yeah. It's been big for my daughter.
Well, we're yakking away, and it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so don't go away. We'll be right back
on
Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Everyone at one time or another experiences so much stress, physical, emotional, and mental, that their brain seems to freeze in place. Lauren McLaughlin has been an emotional support coach for over 25 years and was also a caregiver for her husband John for 10 years. Emotional support coaching for caregivers is all about having the freedom to say out loud, without fear of judgment or criticism, all the random thoughts that have gone in and out of your mind. Many caregivers receive enough help in one session to create their own healing plan. Others may want a bit more coaching, but Lauren McLaughlin has a maximum limit of 3 sessions. If you sincerely want to build a new future, that much coaching will be more than enough. All sessions are on Zoom for 45 minutes. Contact Lauren by email at godbless@tampabay.rr.com to set up an appointment for your caregiver support coaching session. Caregiver support sessions were previously priced at $45. They are now available to our listeners on a love offering basis. You decide what price you want to pay for your personal session.
I see trees of green.
And you know what? At this age, I'm like,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
I love the words in that affirmation, I am who I am, mm-hmm. and I let others be who they are.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. Because
I shared that with my dad this morning because I was listening to one of your taped shows. Yeah.
I'm glad.
And he just turned 80, and he's my mom's major caregiver, and he said, this is so important. Thank you. So,
oh, yeah. I'm glad. Yeah, I have caregivers that hang that on the bathroom mirror so that when other people come in the house, they get a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I've even had caregivers that have printed it out awareness. And just mailed to people in the family because it's hard to really explain what you're going through.
Right. Said than done.
Yeah. And especially when you're in the middle of your caregiving experience. Oh, wait, mom's got to do this. Oh, wait, let me tell you how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me just sit down and tell you what's going on.
Yeah. Right.
But, I want everybody to accept the help they can get. Because everybody wants to help. And when we don't let people help, sometimes that could cause really bad feelings.
Yeah.
And even people have told me after my mom passed away, Linda, I saw you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help, you said you were okay.
Yeah.
And you know what, Linda? You never let me get to meet your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to kind of think about that, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So what have been some of the challenges with your mother with the communication during dementia?
I think fundamentally the biggest challenge is where she thinks she is in the stage. She has vascular dementia. Where she thinks she is isn't really where she is. And so she's still at the age where she can argue back. She's one of those people that likes to argue the price of beans. And so she's still coming to grips with surrendering.
It's a big
to
thing.
Care,
yeah.
To care.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest challenge right at this moment.
Yeah.
Like I said, the other challenge is just being in public and having people who knew her as the lady who had the standard order is now confused and involving herself in conversation, extra conversations.
That's why you need some of those cards.
We were at the favorite pizza place Tuesday nights, and the same people who know her well. We're all rushing to her aid, and then I find them looking at me like, please interpret,
Right.
And that's just where we're at in this journey, so that's the struggle right now.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes it comes from them, sometimes it comes from mom.
Yeah.
Please help me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other situation we've had is that she went a couple of days without any of her medications, and that changed extremely who she was.
Yeah.
We were concerned for a couple of days whether that was a permanent change or whether that would come back.
Right.
And it has come back she has come back to where she was before that, but it took 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's lots of times if somebody gets a UTI.
Right.
Or something like that, it really messes up everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to understand too, and this was something we talked about at the conference the other day, as dementia progresses, many times people with dementia, they can't really get more than four words. The fourth word gets dropped. Hmm. So we need to speak in shorter, in more precise conversations. Because, imagine I say, can you please go, you don't get that word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and people don't realize that, so that's something else to think about.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to slow down, that you have to make things a little shorter. Do you find that with your mom at all? Now, your mom does that.
My mom has a major routine where if it's time to go, she immediately starts checking. Do I have my glasses? And she always wants to have money. And we find we have to find cash to put in her hand
her
pocket that she loses almost every time.
Right.
Or gives away. We don't know what she does with it. But for $10 a day, it's otherwise it's every minute. She's in her pocket every minute. Do I have money in my pocket? That means comfort. Don't ever be caught without, socks, clean underwear, and money in your pocket.
Exactly.
And she checks that.
Right.
When it's time to leave, she runs through her routine. Where are my glasses? What did I bring? Do I have my jacket? And
it's interesting how the fears that were probably buried deep in childhood, or as she was telling you as a mother of all your siblings,
right,
all those things, now it's become her thing to be fearful of. And so I'm seeing that in my mom, too.
Yeah.
Plus, I think they have so much time to think.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as busy women as they were before, and you know you're aging.
Yeah.
My
mom was a CPA and a boss lady, and so she still looks around for things to boss and things to, make better. My brother says it this way: she's a problem solver. She's looking for problems to solve all the time.
So. I have a caregiver a few months ago. So his mom worked in an office too, and she was very busy. And so he bought a file cabinet, and he gives her filing to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
He just takes a whole bunch of stuff out at night, mixes it all up, and she just loves doing it. Yeah. Can you please help me do this? I need these files put in order. And she feels like, yeah.
So yeah. I have been enjoying coloring with my mom. I mean, we have these intricate books now. And
yeah, they have cool books now and pens, yeah.
And we could sit there for hours and just color, and you know, it's a little bit of conversation, but we can go half hour without talking and, you know, pass over the blue. And just color and thinking about stuff and outside in the patio area, she just loves it.
And it's good for you,
so
too.
So do I.
Yeah, it's good for you, too.
I'm a good colorer.
You're a good colorer.
I think I post them all on Facebook. I'm so proud of my coloring.
But it's a nice calm time for the two of you.
You hear that, kids? When I get old, I want to color.
Yeah, and that's true. You need to tell everybody what you want. You know, yes. Brian LeBlanc was on the conference the other day. Brian is living with Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. And Brian has made videos for the people that will be caring for him in the future, because he knows there'll be some point where he will have to go into community.
Right.
So he tells them what kind of music he likes and how he likes his coffee and what time he wants it. And
that's brilliant what he's doing. I commend him so much.
I do too.
I was watching, and there were times where he started to tell a story and he said, I lost it.
It's
continue. Yeah. And he's okay with it, and so are we.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I loved watching him. I've seen him before.
And they're very funny, the two of them.
Oh, I love them.
They're just very funny. Because we do a lot of funny things as caregivers and whatever.
I think you,
that we
you introduced
to.
Him as a comedian. They said, don't ever introduce a comedian as the funny guy, because then we don't know what to say.
Well, it's funny. They've done presentations before, and in the beginning, they don't tell them who has the Alzheimer's. And sometimes
that's great.
They vote Maureen.
Which one of us has it?
Yeah, guess.
That's great.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I want to have, in the next conference, I want to have, like, because there are some other gentlemen out there that have dementia or Alzheimer's that talk about it.
Yeah.
That I've hooked up with. So I want to do, like, a Hollywood Squares of all the guys.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's,
you know?
Cute.
Yeah. And just, I want you to tell me what makes you most irritated or what, because, like Brian says, he'll be with his wife and they're having a nice conversation. People come over and they chat. Hey, how you doing? And then they lean into Maureen's ear and go, how's he doing? He goes, I'm not deaf. I have Alzheimer's. You know? But that's really important. I don't want people talking over me.
Sure.
My mom said the other day, my dad and she were watching news, and my dad, she asked a question about a word. I can't remember what the word is.
Yeah.
And he said to her, do you know what that word means? And she goes, well, I'm not stupid. He goes, I know you're not stupid. I simply asked a question.
Right.
This is how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was funny.
Well, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears. Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, Answers to the Questions You Didn't Know You Needed to Ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
And we're off. You know what that means? You're supposed to get your pen and paper because usually Lynn has good stuff to tell you. Me, I've been like so inundated with the conference this week. I didn't pay too much attention to what other people are doing, except for Tam Cummings. Tam Cummings is coming back live. Yes, live appearances with speakers. Fabulous. What does that behavior mean? Tam Cummings is the author of Untangling Alzheimer's. She was the keynote speaker at the conference. She's brilliant. She's fabulous. So it's Thursday, November 11th from 2:30 to 4 p.m. at Bethel Lutheran Church on McMullen Booth Road in Clearwater. If you're interested, you can RSVP to 727-771-1600. So where can people find your book?
So it's on Amazon.com. All they
it's
have
exciting,
to do is,
isn't it?
Yeah, just search for Say Something and it'll come up.
And I'll put all the information in the show and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my friend, you have a new book, too, that we haven't talked about on the station that, like, scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, I'd like to shake it up. This one's a little
you
bit dark.
You were really shaking it up. You shook it up with the one before this.
Yes.
With Gwen, and now we have to worry about Rick.
Bobby. I'd worry about Bobby.
So tell us a little bit about the story.
So Bobby's Cabin is part real, part fiction.
Thank God.
I go maybe twice a year. I go out to a friend of mine, Bobby's Cabin, and a couple of the friends go out, and it's always, you know, we get away from our wives for a little bit and we drink a little too much and play poker and shoot guns, and it just changes who we are because we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's no cars. You don't wave to the neighbor. You're right in the middle of nowhere. Right. If you scream for help, nobody hears.
No, and it's dark.
So this book is about when a weekend goes completely wrong with your friends, and it just turns into, you know, every man for himself, and it's a scary, very, very real, this could happen kind of a story with people that you think you really know.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I love all of your... So what's in the works now?
Something called Everything I Ever Wanted.
Everything You Ever Wanted.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a book about 5 years into the future, and... I'm not sure I'm going to publish it, but it's a self-serving book that I'm trying to create who I want to be, and I just came up with the idea that I wake up in a hospital with amnesia 5 years from now, and I'm meeting all the people that took the time to come visit me that care about me, and they have to try and explain to me how I know them, and it gets weird because they all.
I'm in there, right?
Yes. They wear name tags because I don't know who people are. And one says wife number 3, you know. So I'm like, how many do I have? So it was a book that helps me to see the future. Do you have a commercial?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I've been watching. I just learned about Netflix recently. I'm a slow learner too, and there's a show on there, Manifest.
Love it.
And yeah, don't you?
Yes.
So there's kind of like the similar idea.
Yes.
They went away and they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, well, my brother came to visit with Parkinson's for 12 days, and it was very challenging. My brother was very, very challenging, extremely challenging.
I remember that time.
Yes, and when they left, I love you guys. When they left, I just, like, cleaned my whole house. I just, like, you know, like, needed my spot. And why did that even lead to that? I don't know.
Manifest, I don't know.
Oh, and that's when I found Netflix.
Yes.
So after they left, 2 days I watched Manifest like this.
Yeah.
I was just like babying myself. I felt so much better. Well, thank you so much. And where can they find your book? On Amazon also.
Amazon.
Just Mr. Rick and Corvia.
Author Rick and Corvia. They'll all come up.
He's got a whole bunch of books. A whole bunch. And I always look forward to more and more and more.
Thank you.
So great having you on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah, and I think your book can help a lot of people because, like I say, I've had some circumstances in my life the past couple of months where I know I need to say something.
Yeah,
and that's really important. Thanks for tuning in up, everybody, this week. You know how much I appreciate you. I know things aren't always easy for you just to hang out and watch the show whenever you want. Remember that God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And trouble, and you need a help.